We're doing a series we're called Total Forgiveness. And last week spoke about God's forgiveness of us. If we confess our failure, our sin to God, he forgives. I wonder if you've done that. I wonder if you've asked God to forgive your sin so that you can be part of his family. Because that's the promise for you today, that if you do that, he will forgive you. And it's a blessed place to live. It's a wonderful place to live. This week, I want to look at this subject, which is difficult for some, the subject of forgiving others. Out of that place of experiencing God's forgiveness, how do we forgive other people who have hurt us? And if you're looking to go beyond what I talked this morning, because it's a big, big subject, there's an excellent book by R.T. Kendall, which is old but gold. It's called Total Forgiveness, the same as our preaching series topic. And it's very worthwhile to read, very easy to read. So before we talk about forgiving others today, it's helpful for us to realize our cultural moment that we live in. We live in an unforgiving world. We live in a world that is quick to cancel and slow to restore. We live in a world where outreach spreads faster than grace. We live in a world where mistakes are captured, shared, and remembered, but rarely forgiven. We're surrounded by a calling out, offense-taking, grudge-holding culture. Social media influencers talk often about being disrespected or asking, how dare they? It's a world that values justice, often without mercy. Christians, this is the air we breathe. Day in, day out, we must beware. We must beware of breeding the toxic atmosphere of no mercy culture. God is calling us to live radically differently. Not with soft indifference. It's not that these things don't matter, but with strong, spirit-empowered forgiveness, rising above the spirit of the age. Here's a great proverb to get us going. A person's wisdom yields patience. It is one's glory to overlook an offense. Or as the Good News Bible puts it, when someone wrongs you, it's a great virtue to ignore it. Great virtue to ignore. You might wonder why there's a picture of a bowling alley on the screen. Anyone ever put the buffers up at the sides of the lanes when they go bowling? If you're not very good at bowling, who's done that? Yeah, Marianne. Okay. We have quite a few in this corner, strangely enough. Okay, so if you want to win at bowling, go out with these guys, right? You put the buffers up to stop the ball going into the valley either side. And, you know, sometimes when we're talking about learning to forgive and not falling into unforgiveness of people and bitterness, it starts with this, not getting easily offended. It starts with putting up the barriers. You know, I'm not going to get easily upset by things that are not worthy of it. To think the best of people. Even Jesus said when he was in the agony of the cross, Father, forgive them because they just don't know what they're doing. Jesus, from the cross, he said, I just don't think they fully understand. So therefore, I'm going to act in forgiveness. He took it less personally than he could have, and so must we. Not taking offense is a powerful safeguard for us. I've found it to be so. When I've chosen to think, they probably didn't mean that, or maybe I misunderstood, or perhaps they don't see what I see, or perhaps they're going through something quite difficult themselves that's making them react that way, I've found that kind of perspective has spared me so much unnecessary pain and hurt. Especially for any of you who are in the realms of leadership in church or in the workplace, you know that these things can feel hard sometimes. Think the best. But sometimes hurt is real. People do say and do hurtful things, sometimes out of ignorance, sometimes deliberately. Some of those things are universally wrong. Others are uniquely painful to you or to me. And whilst God is near to us in our hurt, he also teaches us that letting go of hurt is a vital part of our spiritual and physical health. Here's another verse for you, Hebrews chapter 12. It says, "See to it that no one falls short of the grace of God, and that no bitter root grows up to cause trouble and defile many." When we don't forgive, it causes trouble. Unforgiveness is the slow road to bitterness. It doesn't stay private, it grows, it takes root. And it doesn't only damage you. Unforgiveness is never a personal issue. It spreads. It damages other people. That word defile is not an ordinary word that we use in everyday work. It's a holiness word. It's a religious word. It means to contaminate something that was once clean and set apart for good things, for God's purposes, and it being spoiled. You know, a grudge left unchecked can divide churches, ruin friendships, and distort the witness of the gospel. This is why forgiveness isn't a soft option, it's a holy calling. It's a fight for joy, peace, and the purity of Christ's body. And it's a fight for Christ-likeness and peace for ourselves. It's the path of being like Jesus on the cross who said, "Father, forgive them." We're to be like him. It's part of the daily prayer that he taught us. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Sometimes we think of forgiveness as being the big wrongs that are done to us. It's part of the air that we breathe daily as a Christian to have sins forgiven and to forgive others, to keep short accounts. It's also spiritual warfare. Ephesians chapter 4 says, "In your anger, don't sin. Don't let the sun go down while you're angry, and don't give the devil a foothold." How do you give the enemy a foothold in your life? By holding a grudge, by not forgiving. It's a dangerous thing. Forgiveness, practicing forgiveness, preserves unity in the body as we bear one another and we forgive one another. Forgiveness is the glue that holds churches together. If you're married here today, you'll know that this is something that you and your spouse will have to do all of the time. To think the best of your spouse and for them to think the best of you and to forgive one another regularly. You know, that's not failure, that's fighting. That's how you build a strong marriage. That's how you build a strong friendship. That's how you build a strong church, through practicing this discipline. This lady, Immaculate Ilibagiza, she's well known. She wrote a book called Left Behind, and she's a Rwanda genocide survivor. And she has learned that the power of forgiveness is huge. It's really big. It can change the world. It can save the world. I came across her story. She was trapped in a small bathroom in Rwanda during that 100 days of genocide 30 years ago with eight, I think, other young women. And they were hiding there in a pastor's house for fear of their lives. During that time, all of her family were killed. And she was a Catholic by background, and daily she would pray, at every opportunity she would pray the Lord's Prayer. And knowing the horrors of what was going on around her, she would come and hesitate at that line, "Lord, forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us." And there she said, I just struggled to pray that bit because I knew what was happening to my family. But she began to learn. She said, "What I began to learn was that the power of forgiving others was part of her own healing journey." And she writes about the moment that she came out of that room, and some time later she went to visit the man who'd killed her mother and her sister in the prison who he's being held. And it was quite common in those days, apparently, for people to go and visit the people who had killed family members, and they would spit on them and they would hit them and just shout at them, anything to get it out their system. He wouldn't look at her. He just looked down at the floor. And the jailer who was standing by was shocked because she just simply said quietly, "I forgive you." And the jailer said, "Well, why did you do that?" And she said, "Well, forgiveness is all I have to offer." You see, in the Lord's Prayer, we ask God for everything else, but there's one thing that only we can do, and it's to forgive other people. That's the bit he asks of us in that prayer. So let's read again from Matthew chapter 18 that Luke read us last week, and I'm going to draw out some additional points. So Matthew chapter 18 is a parable that Jesus told in response to Peter, who came to Jesus and asked, "Lord, how many times shall I forgive my brother or sister who sins against me? Up to seven times?" Jesus answered, "I tell you, not seven times, but 77 times. Therefore, the kingdom of heaven is like a king who wanted to settle accounts with his servants. As he began the settlement, a man who owed him 10,000 bags of gold was brought to him. Since he was not able to pay, the master ordered that he and his wife and his children and all he had be sold to repay the debt. At this, the servant fell on his knees before him. 'Be patient with me,' he begged, 'and I will pay back everything.' The servant's master took pity on him, cancelled the debt, and let him go. But when the servant went out, he found one of his fellow servants who owed him just 100 silver coins, a tiny debt. He grabbed him and began to choke him. 'Pay back what you owe me,' he demanded. His fellow servant fell to his knees and begged him, 'Be patient with me, and I will pay it back.' But he refused. Instead, he went off and had the man thrown into prison till he could pay the debt. When the other servants saw what had happened, they were outraged and went and told their master everything that had happened. Then the master called the servant in. 'You wicked servant,' he said, 'I cancelled all that debt of yours because you begged me to. Shouldn't you have had mercy on your fellow servant just as I had on you?' In anger, his master handed him over to the jailers to be tortured until he should pay back all he owed. 'This is how my heavenly Father will treat each of you, unless you forgive your brother or sister from your heart.'" Parables, not every line of a parable has a clear interpretation. That's not how parables are written, but they always do have a punchline. And the punchline seems to be this, that forgiving others matters. It affects our relationship with God, and it affects our relationship with our brothers and sisters. This parable seems to be particularly in the context of God's people, Christian community. Although elsewhere, Jesus does speak about loving and caring and forgiving our enemies. Jesus' parable shows that the forgiven must be the forgiving. The king cancels a massive debt, but the man won't forgive a tiny one. The warning is that unforgiveness blocks our experience of God's grace. It begs the question, when you read that parable, you might be thinking, well, is unforgiveness the unforgivable sin? If I don't forgive, then does that mean that I won't be forgiven? And that God can't forgive me? I don't think it means that in that way, because Jesus elsewhere talks in Mark chapter 3 about the unforgivable sin, which seems to be the sin of rejecting the work of the Holy Spirit in the earthly ministry of Jesus. It's to reject Jesus. Of course, you can't be forgiven if you reject Jesus because he's the one who is able to forgive our sins. So unforgiveness isn't the unforgivable sin. But what this does seem to be telling us is this, that perhaps if we act in this kind of way where we say, you know, I will never let that person off the hook, perhaps it actually speaks volumes about our lack of understanding of the grace of God, and that he has died for our sins in their totality. And therefore, even if this is something that we struggle with dearly, in fact, it's probably a sign that you are a child of God today, that if you're sitting there and you think, I'm feeling such pain and hurt today because of big wrongs that were done to me, you're probably saying that I really want to be able to do this, but it's hard. That's probably a sign that you're wrestling with this, that shows that you're on a path that says, I want to change and I want to be like Jesus. But unforgiveness could also reveal a heart that has not truly experienced and embraced God's grace. And perhaps you need to listen to Luke's preach again from last week. That was a great message. Some key points from that parable, just to remind us. Mercy shown is the obvious outworking of mercy received. Seems to be the clear thing. Here's another thing that we observe, that when we don't forgive, In the story, the person is actively punishing the person who they refuse to grant pardon and forgiveness to. They want them thrown in prison. Here's a very common thing for us when we live lives of unforgiveness, that we want things to go badly for the people who wronged us. Usually, it manifests as an awkward relationship or silent treatment, or perhaps sometimes by retelling that story again and again to a growing number of people, just so everybody else understands what they did to make them look bad. Here's a third observation, though, from the parable, that when we don't forgive, or when the servant doesn't forgive in the thing, he's complicit in leading himself back into captivity. Did you see that? He ends up in prison through his own lack of capacity to forgive others. We can become complicit in leading ourselves into the captivity of bitterness. Who misses out when that happens? I do. You do. I've found there's moments in my life where I've allowed myself to get bitter or unforgiving. And I find myself having conversations with that person. Anybody else do this in their head? No, it's just me. Okay. I won't tell you the contents then. Okay. So, and I find myself having a really great conversation where, do you know who wins the conversation? Who has the punchline at the end? Do you know who gets that final word? It's me. And each day when I do it again, I get better and better at it. And I think, I totally nailed it this time. That's how I should have been in that conversation. And do you know who's missing out? Me. Because I'm grieving the Holy Spirit. I clearly don't have peace. And I'm neglecting other really important relationships in my life that I could be filling my mind with. Paul said, whatever is true, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, fix your heart on these things. Don't waste your life thinking about conversations that could have been different in the past. Choose to forgive. Don't be complicit in your own captivity of bitterness. And the final thing to see in that parable is this, that unforgiveness is a vicious cycle that has no end. It's only mercy that ever breaks the cycle of unforgiveness. It's when somebody says, you know what, I'm not going to seek justice this time. I'm going to show grace. So, all good so far. If you're a Christian, you think, I know that this is important. It's hard, right? It's hard to forgive when you have been very hurt. Somebody wise once said this, but go back one, please. You know, if you're feeling hurt, if you're experiencing pain, don't curse it, don't nurse it, don't rehearse it, let the Holy Spirit reverse it. If only life was as easy as a rhyming quadruplet. But it's important. Don't curse it. Don't seek revenge. Don't seek to pay that person back. Don't nurse it. Don't dwell on it. Don't allow a bitter root to grow inside you as much as you can. Don't rehearse it. Don't keep telling other people about what they did to you. And let the Holy Spirit reverse it. Obviously, the past can't be undone. But as we've heard this morning, the Spirit of God, he can bring healing. And he can bring help. And he can bring freedom and joy in the place of brokenness. But here's the thing. I mean, normally I just like to bang through Bible verses, right? But here's the thing. When it comes to the issue of forgiveness, we know the teaching's clear. Jesus says, forgive. It's very simple. We must forgive those who wrong us. Here's the problem. Yeah, but. So I've got seven yeah, buts. Go back to the yeah. Thank you. That's Cynthia. So here's some things that may just help us to talk through for a few moments. By the way, where we're going to go at the end with this, we're going to have just a moment to think and to pray and reflect. We're not going to do anything to embarrass anybody, but there's going to be an opportunity for you to just experience God's forgiveness and for you to choose to forgive. And maybe some of these points will help you to be able to do that. So here's the first yeah, but that we feel, yeah, but I don't feel it. We think forgiveness should be a feeling where we feel warm and fuzzy about that person again. It's wrong thinking. It's not a feeling, it's a choice. Understanding forgiveness is an act of obedience and faith, and not a feeling, is important. The Bible says, forgive as Jesus forgave you. Forgiveness is a decision to release the debt, not a denial of pain or a warm feeling towards the person. The feelings may or may not be restored. Secondly, here's a big one. It's justice. If I forgive, it feels like I'm letting them off the hook for what they did. The problem is that we can confuse forgiveness with excusing, or feel it invalidates our or a friend of ours' suffering. It helps us to understand that forgiveness doesn't cancel justice. You know, you can forgive somebody and yet call the police to report a crime. You can feel you've let that person off, but you've handed the keys of justice to a higher court. The ultimate court that you hand it to is God. You're entrusting it to God because you believe that better justice than I could achieve is possible when I hand it to him. It recognizes justice as above my pay grade. Scripture says, vengeance is mine and I will repay, says the Lord. Forgiveness doesn't mean the wrong didn't matter. It means you're handing the case over to a higher court. Here's the third one. They didn't say sorry. How can I forgive somebody when they didn't say sorry to me and they haven't repented and they still haven't repented? It's a real issue. We can feel stuck when there's no apology or remorse. It can feel strange to be speaking of forgiveness when there's no change in behavior. It's helpful to know that there's a difference between forgiveness, which is to release the debt, and reconciliation, which is to restore the relationship. In a healthy relationship, you might say, you know what, I was really hurt by that. I want you to know I've forgiven you. And could we talk about it? That's what you do. That's what reconciliation is about. Forgiveness doesn't have the second part of that conversation. It says, you know, I'm not going to be thinking about this. I'm not going to be letting this get to me anymore. I'm going to let you off the hook in terms of my feelings towards you, even if reconciliation is not possible. Jesus said, Father, forgive them, before a single person repented of their sins. Forgiveness is one-sided. Reconciliation requires two. Fourth, yeah, but. I've forgiven them, but the pain keeps coming back. It doesn't feel authentic because I say I've forgiven, but it feels like I haven't. How many times do I forgive my brother? Peter asked Jesus, 70 times seven. It's not that you haven't forgiven, it's that we have to keep doing this until we are free. Forgiveness is often a process, not a one-time event. When pain rears its head, reaffirm your choice to forgive. Deep hurts take time. Fifth, yeah, but. I don't know how to do this. It feels like a bunch of messy emotions. Here's some simple steps. Name the wrong clearly. Acknowledge the hurt. Choose to release the debt. Pray for the person. And ask the Holy Spirit to help you. The Bible says, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. Start with honesty. Bring your pain to God and invite him to lead you step by step. Sixthly, yeah, but I don't want to forgive because I don't want to be close to them again. The problem is that forgiveness can be confused with trust or a restored relationship. The truth is this, forgiveness is free, but trust is earned. Trust must be rebuilt, and boundaries are wise. The Bible says, be wise as serpents and innocent as doves. Forgiveness doesn't mean pretending nothing has happened. It means releasing vengeance, not removing all boundaries. Perhaps there's a door that God will open for restoration of relationship, but that's not the only goal. In fact, in some situations, it's impossible for that relationship to be restored but you can walk free in terms of not holding anything against that person. Last one. I've been wounded by Christians or the church. The problem, you know, spiritual abuse or betrayal feels especially confusing. Because here you are, you're listening to me talk today, and you think, yeah, I've heard other people preach about this, and then they went and did something like that. And trust can be eroded and damaged. Nothing can change the hurt that you experience from that. But here's the invitation to look at Jesus. He's different. He's the starting point as you rebuild trust. Jesus is an unchanging, faithful shepherd. And the Bible says, as we heard this morning, he was despised and rejected by men. He knew what it was to be deeply hurt and rejected. He empathizes with us. He walks with us. He doesn't minimize your pain. He gets it. And he will lead you towards your healing at your pace. Overcome the yeah buts, because we must forgive. Let me give you five practices. Sorry, this is becoming like a seminar, isn't it? But it's kind of where you go with forgiveness stuff, isn't it? Because we all need help to be practical with these things. Here's five things I found helpful in different situations in my life. Firstly, process personally. Sometimes it can be helpful to write an email or a letter that you never send. I've only done this once, and my plan was to send it, to tell somebody how hurt I was and that I forgave them. You know, so it was my way of, you know, being big. You know, I've forgiven you for this thing that you've done that they were totally unaware of. And then as I read it, and I, it really helped me to process what I felt. And then God said, yeah, you don't need to send that. This is your issue. You need to forgive. And I didn't send it. Now, it's different. If the other person knows that there's an issue, of course, there's an opportunity for a conversation to say, you know, I want you to know that I've forgiven you for that wrong that you did to me. But oftentimes, it just helps us to process, to know whether that's the case or not. Secondly, pour out your heart to God. The Psalms, there's Psalms 55, Psalm 55, Psalm 88, they're Psalms of lament that are just expressing deep confusion and hurt. Pour out your heart to God. He is glad to hear our messy prayers. Thirdly, pray for the person. Pray blessings over the person. As you do that, God will begin to lift the burden off you. Fourthly, this is helpful. That the Bible says, cast your burdens onto Jesus because he cares for you. And sometimes it's helpful to picture, to package up that pain, to package up that hurt, and to throw it to Jesus because he's a good catcher. And he says, I've got this. I've got this. You can trust me with this. And lastly, if none of these other things are helping, it can be very helpful to speak to a more mature Christian, not one who will simply just empathize with your hurt, but one who will genuinely lead you through and help you to forgive. Maybe a small group leader, maybe a pastor, maybe a mature Christian. And to just say, I don't want to just keep going over this with many people, but I do want you to help me to walk free of this and to pray for me. But you know, there's one helper who is beyond all of these things, and it's God the Holy Spirit who is in you if you are a Christian. And, you know, it's the Holy Spirit who first of all reminds us that we're forgiven so that we can live this out. It's the Holy Spirit who convicts us when bitterness is taking hold in our lives. And perhaps today you're beginning to think, oh, the Spirit is actually just beginning to prompt things in me, things that I need to be dealing with. It's the Spirit who empowers us to forgive because we cannot do these things in our own strength. It's the Spirit who intercedes for us when, as we're trying to pray prayers of forgiveness, I don't even know what to say or to pray. Well, the Spirit helps us. The Spirit intercedes for us through wordless groans. And the Spirit gives us a new heart. He transforms us. He transforms our unforgiving heart into a heart that's full of mercy and grace. You know, we forgive not by grit, but by grace. We forgive not by the pressure of feeling like we have to, but by the power of the Holy Spirit filling us. So we're going to take some time just in the remainder of our time together to reflect and to think. I don't know about you, so sometimes, you know, probably many of us, we have homes or flats that we clean periodically, and then maybe once in a while, maybe when you're moving out, you do a deep clean. And perhaps there'll be just things that have happened this week for you that you think, oh yeah, I just need to forgive that person. Just need to not be overthinking that. Lord, would you help me with that? For others of us, there'll be things that, oh, it's just this thing that happened years ago keeps coming up. And today, I'm just going to give us an opportunity for the Holy Spirit to work and for us to begin to articulate forgiveness for those who have wronged us. You know, a few years ago, I'd preached on forgiveness, and somebody was listening to it on a podcast. And I think they were from a religious background, but they wouldn't necessarily say they were a Christian at that point. And as they heard this call to say, you need to forgive others, she was walking across the meadows, and she suddenly started thinking of a family member who had caused her a lot of pain. And she felt the Holy Spirit say, you need to forgive him now. And she did. She says, I forgive him. She says in her testimony, that's when I became a Christian. She says, I experienced the love and mercy and forgiveness of God in that moment like I'd never experienced it before. And it all started with me forgiving that family member. God does deep things in this place of forgiveness. So let's take a moment to reflect, and we're just going to pray the Lord's Prayer together. And I'm just going to let you pray it quietly. We won't pray it out loud. I'll lead us one line at a time. I just want you to pray it in your heart, along with other things that you're feeling. And then we're going to listen to a worship song that speaks of God filling us with his love for those that we struggle to love. And as we do that, I just want to encourage you to just bring your stuff to God. And anything that's challenging, anything that God is prompting, why don't you bring it to him and ask for his help and choose to forgive? So let's pray the Lord's Prayer together, just quietly. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen.